Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining me this week. So, as usual, I will start with my motivational quote, and it is by Carl Jung, and it says, or he says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. Would you let a stranger govern your thoughts? Yeah, I don't think so. But here's the thing. Research shows that the unconscious mind is in charge, wait for it, 90% of the time, and actually runs our life. But here's what makes that kind of scary in a way. The unconscious and conscious mind could have two different agendas. So think about that for a sec. And when they do, a battle ensues between the two minds that can bring on stress and negative thoughts, which can ultimately lead to patterns of behavior that can create dysfunction in our lives. And by the way, yes, you guessed it, our unconscious mind affects much of our physical health too. Yikes. So conflicts between the unconscious and conscious beliefs, they create stress. When the body is stressed, what actually happens is our immune system is triggered to cope and can't pay attention to keeping its regular functions of keeping us healthy. If we can reset that unconscious or unconscious beliefs so that they're in alignment with our conscious mind, this will actually help us reduce stress, allowing our immune system to do its job and keep us well. Sounds great. So how do we gain control over our unconscious mind? And how do we allow our immune system to do their job? Well, today you're in store for a real treat where these questions and actually many more are going to be answered. My guest today is Sally Tennant. Now, Sally has more than a decade of training and working with clients in various healing and energy methods. Her energy work has led her to her current practice, healing through your mindset, and the creation of Enlightenment Technique, which we'll talk more about. The Enlightenment Technique is a quick and easy method to identify and reset limiting subconscious beliefs and patterns of behaviors that cause the stress in the body and hardship in life. This technique combines the use of quantum physics, clinical kinesiology, which is muscle testing, and energy psychology. For her work in health and wellness, Sally has been featured on CUTV Talk Radio and was named CUTV Newswoman of the Year in 2016. She's a member of the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. And with that, please help me welcome Sally to the show. So, Sal, thanks so much for being on.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this. I know that we are becoming more aware in society about our unconscious and the subconscious mind, and or our unconscious and conscious mind, and really, really how our unconscious mind navigates our life 90% of the time, which is kind of a astronomical number. Why did you get involved in this whole modality with folks?
Well, because I was just like everybody else living in in my unconscious mind for about 43 years. And I had a wake-up call. I think it takes that amount of time or many different things. You get hit over the head many, many times, and finally you go, wait a minute, this is not working for me. I was in a totally different line of business, and I was so unhappy and miserable, and I just – well, actually, I developed a cancer on my face, which my dermatologist said I had to have them check this twice because we only see this type of cancer in elderly men. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not good. I am not an old man and I'm a young woman. And for some reason or other, I kind of knew I had grown that on my face for a reason. I was unhappy. I was in despair. I was miserable. And so what I did really was turn myself over to Creator and say, help me out here. I need some help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what guided me to know that what I want to do is help people, help myself as well. And I think it was just my soul mission talking as well.
What can I ask what you did prior to this that you were just so radically unhappy?
I was an auctioneer.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the auction business. I had my own auction. And basically, I dealt in estate contents. And it was just, it's a very tough business.
I bet.
And that business was getting just worse and worse and worse. And I worked 7 days a week because in that business, when you get a phone call from somebody, you have to run. It doesn't make any difference what time of day it is or whatever.
Wow.
And it was just too much and lugging stuff around. I mean, no matter how much help you have, you're always involved. And that's okay when you're younger.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it was really wearing on me. And I just didn't want to do it anymore because there's a lot of greed in that industry. There's a lot of it's just a very greedy type of industry. And it just turned me off. So,
yeah, didn't match with your values, right?
No, yeah. Not at all.
What are the three key ways that you've been able to help your clients through the, you know, as you've journeyed and learned and researched and, you know, educated all of those things, you know, what are the three things that you typically use to help your clients?
Well, I work with my clients to help them make more money, get over physical issues, anxiety, depression, PTSD. I mean, a lot of different things. And the ways in which I help them are all over the board because I have so many trainings, but they really come together. And you know, the way that you help them or the way that it works basically is they set a goal. And once their goal is set, we'll find out what the negative emotional charge is on the goal. And then we'll identify what are the interference patterns? What's going on here? Why are you having this problem? And it could be anything. And whatever it is that we identify, and it's identified through muscle testing. And muscle testing is just like a lie detector test. We get beyond the conscious mind and we speak directly to the person's soul here. And the soul knows exactly what's going on and what it wants. And so it tells you, this is what's going on here. And it could be phobias. It could be trauma. Sometimes there's blocked access to negative emotions. There's all kinds of interference patterns in the body. And they're interfering with the soul mission. They're getting in your way. And so whatever it is, the body knows exactly what's going on. And once we identify that, we do a reset. We clear it. And what's very nice about this particular technique is you never have to relive any of the traumas. And I like that because I don't think anybody should have to. We just find out what it is, we identify it, and then boom, we clear it.
Do people always figure out, like you said, they set a goal and then you look at like a negative emotion or that negative charge to whatever that goal is that they're trying to achieve. Has anybody ever struggled with figuring that out to say, oh, yeah, that's what happened to me when I was 5 years old or whatever it is?
Well, it's up to me to help them sometimes because people block things out.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, I mean, there's something called history trauma and threshold trauma. And when you have threshold trauma, these things are little tiny things that happen over and over and over and over again that you don't even think about because it's so common. But then what happens is one last thing puts you over the edge and boom. Usually what happens is a panic attack or something like that about 24 hours later. And you have no idea why. And then you have the trauma, the panic attack. That can happen as well. But these traumas don't have to be huge. A three-year-old, it doesn't take much to traumatize a three-year-old. So how it will work is if they've blocked it out or they're not aware of it, I'll muscle test and say, well, at what age did this happen? Body knows. So we'll do a little investigation and just keep asking questions. And then finally, it will surface. It will come up. So that's typically what happens. We just keep asking questions. Did it involve your parents? Did it involve a grandparent or a relative or maybe a teacher or whoever it may be? So we just keep asking the questions. The body gives us the answers. and eventually it'll come to mind.
Now, when you say history and threshold trauma, can you give me an example of each of them?
Well, history trauma is where you've had, usually it's family history trauma, and that's the kind of thing where it may even be a family pattern. And so now this history trauma is something that comes up and it'll code as a loss or a violence trauma. And history trauma is something you really have to deal with, because that's usually a big trauma. Threshold traumas are the kind that the little ones that you may not think about, because it's a common thing that may have happened your entire life, but something happens and puts you over threshold. And that's where you have maybe a panic attack or something like that, where, you know, all of a sudden you have no idea what happened.
Can you give me an example, Sally, of what a threshold? I get the family one where it's history repeating itself of abuse or cheating or alcoholism and stuff like that. I would think that would be the history trauma, right? What would be an example of a threshold trauma? I don't think I'm understanding that.
Okay. I'll that's easy. Here's an example. Let's say somebody was told that children are to be seen and not heard mm-hmm. their entire life. Mm-hmm. And they were put down for just being themselves. And that was common in the family. That happened all the time, right? And so then, and it's don't talk, don't be yourself, don't talk about yourself, don't do this, don't do that, and be very, all the time this goes on. This is how it is in the family. Children are to be seen and not heard. You're being silly for acting like that. Just that kind of thing that happens all the time, because that's how it is in the family. Then, this person goes to give a public speech, and 24 hours prior to that, is told something about how, oh, you probably won't know how to speak, or, you know, something, and here you are doing this. And in other words, another of the same thing that they've heard over and over again, and they brush it off. They get up in front of the group to speak and have a full-blown panic attack. Because here they are speaking their truth. They wrote the speech. Here they are speaking in front of a large group of people. And they've been told all their life, you can't do that. You're not supposed to speak your truth. You're not supposed to do that. You're wrong for talking about yourself. And that happened 24 hours prior to this public event, and boom, panic attack. So that's how threshold trauma can happen.
Yeah, and it's the subtlety, because it happens all the time in your life that you almost don't even notice it, that it's happening, because it's just part of your life.
Exactly. You have absolutely no idea that this is a problem.
It's interesting. See, and now I'm going to think about it after the show. Tonight I'll be in bed. I'll be like, what threshold trauma do I deal with every day, right? Or what am I doing to my kids to ruin them or whatever? Because we do. We have habits that we've learned from our parents, our grandparents, et cetera. So it's just very interesting. And I would think, Sally, sometimes those threshold habits I'm going to use, or those threshold traumas that we don't even know we're doing, perhaps, is it innocently, like, no, I don't think people are I know my parents used to say to us, you know, kids are to be seen and not heard, when we'd be going to my grandmother's house, right? And we'd be like, oh, okay, that means we need to be on our best behavior. We're going to be in big trouble on the way home, right? I don't think they meant anything by it, like, to not literally not talk. It was their way of saying, you better not be bad, right? My word. Don't be good at grandma's house. So we don't even realize it. And I know my parents didn't do it to be mean, right?
No, that's probably how they were brought up.
Sure, sure. So literally, that's why we say history repeats itself, because history repeats itself. Yeah, it's interesting. Let's take a really, really quick break. We come back. I'm curious, the clients that come to you, have you seen repeated patterns that seem to happen more frequently than not? So that are people coming to you for the same kinds of things that you've seen a history of, because you've been doing it for quite a while now? All right, so we'll take a break and then we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change. Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email Connie at WhitmanAssociates.com.
We're back and we're speaking with Sally Tennant, and we're talking about really our sole purpose, and we're talking about ways to get in and understand what our, why our unconscious does what it does, or makes us behave or live a life a certain way that really might not be serving us anymore, because of old patterns and habits and things that we were taught probably as kids, Sally, too, right? I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, probably a lot of it is from when we're kids, because you don't even remember it, right?
Well, when we're children, we're in a certain brainwave state, and we're just, I mean, you know how people are now taking their three-year-olds in to learn. Why? Because they take so much in. They learn so quickly. Mm-hmm. So everything, when you're young and up until about age six, even then after that, it's, you're still learning a lot. But up until age six, you're just taking everything in. You're learning everything. And of course, your parents are everything to you. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, you know, these things get embedded in the subconscious. And then when we get to about age 10, 11, when we get our neurotransmitters and all our hormones, we start to think more on our own. We start to go into beta brainwave state, and we start thinking on our own. It, that stuff we've learned is locked into the subconscious mind. And it likes to run the show.
Yeah, well, 90% of the time, right? Which is a staggering statistic. So do you find, because you've been doing this a while now, right? That like when people come to you, there's some common themes that you see over and over and over again.
Well, in the beginning, a lot of people would come to me for physical issues. Hmm. And they still do. And I call them mystery disorders, because it's typically they've been to everybody in the world. And of course, that's 15, 20 years ago. I've been here, there, and everywhere. And I nobody knows what this is. And what am I going to do about it? So still, now I get more and more people who have typically anxiety. They're stuck. Mm. I mean, you know, people are stuck. They know somehow that they're sabotaging themselves. They know that, that for some reason or other, for instance, they can't make more money, or they can't move forward in their business, or whatever it might be. They now know that maybe something's wrong here, and I got to figure out what it is. And they're looking for answers, and they're looking for fast results, because in our society, everything has to be quick.
Yeah.
So what's really nice is we can find out right away what's going on with them. And what happens is, let's say somebody comes into me and they have a goal, let's say to make more money, and their negative emotional charge on it is like 97%. I know they're going to have more than one sitting with me, because 97% is a lot. We'll bring it down to 0% during that particular intervention. But now, once the body starts to get rid of the junk that it doesn't want anymore, it goes, woohoo, and the next layer comes right up and says, me next. So, you know, I know when it's 97%, we're going to have a few times together. But if they come in and it's only 5%, we'll get it right then and there. So it's really interesting. People come for so many anxiety, PTSD, a lot of physical issues. There's really no pattern because it's all over the place. There really isn't much you can't help with this. I mean, I have people who have cancer, and I work along with them to help their body to accept the treatments that they're having and use it properly. So, you know, there's a lot that can be done for people with this method and some of the other methods that I use. So it's really cool because I get across the board with people.
The money one is interesting. And you said that if somebody comes in and they have a money issue, 97%, whatever that measurement is, that you know that once you clear that, another one comes up. So two questions. First, things are tethered together. Issues are tethered together. I would think like layer upon layer upon layer. So you have the same theme perhaps of money, but there were different experiences that led to that issue with money. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, it's interesting because money issues typically will touch on so many different aspects of a person's life. They really do. And you'll see it run the full gamut. And it isn't typically one theme necessarily. It could jump all over the place with whatever interference pattern comes up. Sometimes there are phobias involved. Sometimes it's trauma. Sometimes it's actually layers of the Enneagram wound, which are the Enneagram personality types, and there are a lot of wounds there. So it goes all over the place when it comes to money. And yeah, it could go, for instance, I like to say there's the poverty mentality, which says I'm okay with what I have and I don't have to make any more money and I'll just make do. And that's usually I don't deserve kind of thing. Family patterns come up. I mean, it's really interesting because with money, there's a pattern where the family actually makes a pact with, and I put this in parentheses, the devil, and that's metaphorical, of course. And it's for money or wealth or fame or whatever it might be. And it backfires all the time, of course. And then typically there will be another pattern. When that comes up, you've got three things that are happening. You have a dysfunctional, hateful family secrecy patterns. And there are all these crazy things that people have. But one client had this one, the family had a pact that went back before Christ. And here was the pattern. The pattern was we can make money, but after we make it, we're going to lose it. And so it was like this poor client is making money, and then every time making money, it would either give it away or somehow lose it. So it's really interesting, all of the different things that can be going on in a person's life. And of course, with that kind of a pattern and it affects the whole family. So when it's cleared, it actually clears it for the entire family, which is wonderful if they're running the same pattern, which of course they would be.
It's amazing. And I think they just did research. I know they had done research with mice and the cherry blossom. And right, they went back. And I think they said that we have like through our DNA were transmitted these belief systems that are in place. And they proved it through this research with the cherry blossoms and the mice. And I think they went back three or four generations. And then recently I read an article and they said that they're actually finding that we could go back as far as like 13 generations, which, you know, think about that. Is that like the dinosaur days?
And you can go back further than that.
I mean,
it just depends on how strong it is in the DNA.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Which is remarkable because you really have no control. And I'm doing control in quotes, because of course we do have control of our own minds if we learn how to harness that. But if we don't know, we don't know what we don't know. So if we're not sure how to figure out whatever that limiting belief is on money or whatever that pattern is that we, like you said, around money. And it's interesting, as you were saying that, I remember, and you probably heard this too when you were a kid, my mom used to say, oh, money doesn't grow on trees. We can't afford that. Money doesn't grow on trees. And, you know, we were in poverty level. You know, I mean, my dad worked, and I'm sure we were living paycheck to paycheck back then. So my mom was very cognizant of money, so that, you know, they helped us pay for education and all of those things. But it's interesting that she probably heard that from her grandparents, because my mom was a depression baby. So So it's all this learned behavior that we don't even realize. And, you know, recently as a mother, you know, woman, I'm understanding my own limiting beliefs as it relates to money. It's just really interesting stuff. And you think, money, like what? How does that, how could your brain affect that? But it absolutely does, right? It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. And it's a big deal. And it's very huge. I mean, there are a lot of people walking around out there with what I call the poverty mentality.
Yeah.
It's just okay to be where I am. And yet they do want more, but they'll settle. Well, what do you want to settle for? We're here to be happy and do, and money is just an energy anyway.
Right.
So you could use money for a lot of good, right? You can donate to charities. You can start your own charity if you want. You can, there's so much that you can do with money. So it's not evil. That's another one.
Yeah.
People think money is evil.
Money's the root of all evil, right? That's another one.
And people who have money are bad and they're evil. And I mean, there's so many of those kinds of things. But when I go in, I don't really, you know, I just set the goal and then see what interference pattern is in the way. What is that pattern? And then just clear it out. So
now you keep saying resetting, Sal, and clearing. Can you explain to everybody what that means?
Well, if it's resetting beliefs, what we're doing is actually transmuting those beliefs into a much higher consciousness level. So obviously and I measure the consciousness level of these things. So many times, and that's David Hawkins' work, where it goes from 0 to 1,000, 0 being like really angry, and below 500, basically you have all your negative emotions. You get above 500. 500 is love and above. So you got 500, and then above that, you go into Christ consciousness. And so it's typically resetting the limiting beliefs will be transmuting them into a consciousness level of like 600 to 900. When it comes to clearing phobias, for instance, when people have phobias, which are fears or, you know, they're not real fears, but they have them. So if they have phobias, I'm going to actually clear those phobias out. And that's done with different energy psychology techniques. I use it, and the client actually chooses which one to use in order to clear them. And once they're cleared, they're gone. They're done. They're out.
They never creep back?
They never creep back. Because we're going to make sure. What happens is, if I set a goal for somebody, they may have 3 or 4 interference patterns running. And so we'll set the priority, which one do we work on first? And we will set that goal until all of those patterns are clear.
So let me make sure I'm understanding. So you're literally take it from the unconscious that, oh my God, I didn't even know that was there. Oh, my mom did say that. I never realized it, right? That revelation almost, right? Of the aha moment. And so you take it from that unconscious where it was, you didn't even know it was there, to bringing it to the conscious. And then every time you have that thought or belief, you're like, oh, there. Now you've shined the light on it. So you're saying, oh, there it is again. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. We may have to, you know, what I'll do is ask, all right, here we have this goal, and I'll say, all right, do you have any phobias on the goal? Do you have any, any blocked access patterns? Do you have any traumas on the goal? And of course, I'm muscle testing the whole time, so I'm going to find out all the interference patterns that this person has on their goal. And then we're going to prioritize which one do we work on first. Mm-hmm. And the goal during a session is to get whatever the negative emotional charge is down to 0% for that session. And then we'll check it the next time, see if there's any remaining negative emotional charge. So what's happening here is we're clearing out the phobias, we're clearing out the traumas, we're clearing out whatever interference pattern might be running on the goal. So it's gone. It's gone, because the other thing is I work with all four parts of the body. So you've got the body, you've got the unconscious mind, you've got the conscious mind, and the soul. And so at the end of a session, here's how I word it. From your deepest wisdom, are you 100% balanced on the goal at all four levels, body to soul? And muscle test the answer, and then I'll run through each level to make sure that each level's on board. So we're getting at everything here, not just the subconscious. We're getting at the body, we're getting at the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the soul level, because we want everybody to be balanced.
Do you give people homework to reinforce so that it doesn't creep back in?
It's not going to creep back in. It doesn't creep back in. I don't give them homework. I educate my clients. I give them techniques to use if in any kind of situation where they might have a problem. Mm-hmm. My clients do text me, and I have to remind them, have you tried this? And they go, oh, yeah. And then I don't hear from them until the next session. So funny. But there are times, if my clients call me up and they have an issue, I'll deal with it right then and there. Mm-hmm. if I'm available. But the point is, these things do not creep back in. And what I always tell my clients is this: it would be really wonderful if you could take a month off and go someplace else and not be within your either family situation or your business or whatever it is that is pushing on you here. But that's not reality. So, we know that they're things are going to come up, and that's what happens for people. But they start moving forward. People start moving forward, and as they start moving forward, I usually have maintenance programs for them, because as they move forward, more challenges come up. So we have a maintenance program. So it's pretty cool, though, that it doesn't come back. Something else comes up as they move forward. And it's wonderful to see, because they're moving forward, and here's something else I can clear out. Boom, here's something else I can clear out. But that's what happens.
Yeah, layers of the onion, right? We really are layers upon layers of just our lifetime and these past lifetimes. So it's just so interesting. And I've had muscle testing done, and I've had some clearing done through other guests that I've had on the show. And it's really very interesting how, and I'm going to use my word, Sally, I don't know if people have said this before, but I have felt lighter. After these sessions, you see things with more clarity that you think, why didn't I see that before? Like, it's so obvious. And yet, for whatever reason, but it wasn't obvious, right? Because of whatever beliefs or patterns were in place that we don't know what we don't know, right? And until you know it, then you can't unknow it at that point. So that clarity, which is kind of cool, and you feel better. So it's a great, I think it's a great way, what you're doing, Sally, to help people truly, truly at the core change their lives for things that they don't know. Why I'm earning all this money and then I lose it? Why am I happy one day and then something terrible? I'm always waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it always does, right? People have all of these. We have friends that speak like this. Oh, I knew something else was going to come up and happen. We're waiting for it. Why? Why are you waiting for something bad to happen? Yeah, bad that stuff happens, right? But why are we waiting for it? Again, that's our mental, that's the unconscious mind at work. So I love how you can help people change that literally on a dime. And like you said, the more stuff comes up, right? We all have a lot of crap in us.
Yes, we do.
We do. So we need to clear out the crap so that we can, you know, really be healthy and thrive. And I love how you said before, and we're out of time, but I just want to comment on something you said before. Why would you settle in your life for the amount of money, happiness, marriage, whatever it is? Why would you ever settle when really everybody should have everything they need and want? Because it makes us do better things for the world, right? Every time you have a little bit extra money, you feel more compelled to give that little bit extra at church, or you feel compelled to go to more fundraisers because you do have the money to spend or put in the baskets or whatever it is. And everybody, I'm sure, can relate to that. I'm not saying you have to donate $1 million, but I know when money has been tight through my life and there's a fundraiser, and I think, oh, that would be so much fun. I'd love the cause, and but I can't do the baskets. I'm not going to go because that's just going to frustrate me. And as you make more money, you can do more good. So, you know, money isn't an evil thing. And I like how you said it's an energy. It's just a resource for us. Exactly. Yet we get hung up, but we all have our money issues, right? So here's the deal, guys. I think if you found this intriguing, which I hope you did, and you're looking to change, right? The show is Enlightenment of Change, and you're looking to change key aspects in your life, I highly recommend reach out to Sally. I'm going to give both her website and email. Go to her website, which is healingthroughyourmindset.com. Love that, by the way, Sal. Healingthroughyourmindset.com, because that's really what we're doing. And or reach out to Sally, my little creative friend here. Her email address is sallyhasmail@gmail.com. And I just love that email address. It makes me smile every time I say it or write it, Sally. So easy to remember. And you guys, if you need information from me, please reach out to me. You can email me directly. I do respond personally. You could go to Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com. And I'm still offering those free communication style assessments. Go to wisdomdecoded.com. And right on the landing page, you'll see, take your free assessment. It gives you a little report about how you communicate and probably how you're showing up to others in your life from a communication standpoint. Sally, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and just sharing very intriguing information and trying to help us harness control over that 90% of unconscious, which is controlling us. And it shouldn't be that way. We need to take control, and we really are in the power. We have the power, and we're in the driver's seat to do that. So thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome. I had a good time.
I'm glad. And thank you again for all your information and some little tips that you gave people. And I hope they reach out to you at healingthroughyourmindset.com, to check out what you do, because I think it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. On the website, by the way, they can check a box for a complimentary 15-minute consult.
Oh,
so
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. So again, you guys, you got nothing to lose. 15 minutes and you could get in. Well, Sally could get into your head, right? put them in your petri dish, right? And experiment. I love it. Thank you again, Sal. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves by embracing change and realizing that it's possible and probably easier than we think. And there's so many tools out there for us, like what Sally shared with us today. So again, embrace change. It's a beautiful thing. It helps us grow and challenges our comfort zone. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks, everyone. I really hope you all have an inspired week and embrace change, whatever that means to you. Be inspired. Thanks.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanAssoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.